August 10th, 2021, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Okay, we're going to get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular rural town board meeting for August 10th, 2021. Here at Monroe Town Hall, and ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And also ask that everyone please rise for a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on this evening's agenda is a customary approval of minutes. We have two sets, both from July 27, 2021. The first one is our audit meeting, and the second is the regular town board meeting. All the same board members were present for both meetings. Does anybody have any recommended changes, corrections on those?
No.
If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve. We'll take them together, both sets of meeting for that day.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And I will be abstaining from that vote as I was not in attendance. Item two on the agenda, set future meetings and workshops. I don't have a need for one. Does anyone else? Item three, just want to provide, unfortunately, here COVID is back in the news. We want to provide an update to our residents. Last Friday, Saratoga County issued a public health advisory on COVID-19 transmission here in our county. And I just want to provide an update on what that means. Currently, Saratoga County is experiencing community transmission that is fueled by the highly contagious Delta variant. Our County Public Health Services has recommended that at this time all individuals fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, unvaccinated wear a mask when indoors with people who are not members of their own household, outdoors in crowded settings, and when engaging in activities that involve close contact with others who are not fully vaccinated. Public Health Department also recommends vaccination for those who are eligible and testing for those with signs or symptoms of the COVID-19 disease. And for those who have been exposed to a person infected with the virus, regardless of whether they are experiencing signs or symptoms or have been fully vaccinated, and other preventative measures that protect themselves and others. Some of the numbers that may be of interest. Over the past 7 days, there have been 240 cases that have been reported to the CDC and in Saratoga County. That works out to 104.41 per 100,000 population. So that has triggered our percent positivity rate of 4.46%. Since June 6th of this year, approximately 40% of reported cases in the county have been identified as individuals between the ages of 18 and 39, and an additional 10% of reported cases have occurred among those ages 6 to 11. While hospitalizations during this time have not increased to levels observed during the January 2021 pandemic, approximately 89% of hospitalized individuals were not fully vaccinated. To date, 0.007% of fully vaccinated individuals in the county have been hospitalized due to the COVID disease. Similarly, 169 COVID-related deaths have been reported to Saratoga County Public Health, and 99.4% occurred in individuals who were not fully vaccinated. So the takeaway there is if you truly want to protect yourself, your loved ones, the people you come in contact with, if you're not yet vaccinated, you should certainly do so. I can tell you that in talking with Commissioner Cools, press conference at 1 p.m. tomorrow at Saratoga County. Provide an update at the county for our residents. Individuals ages 60 up in the county were 91% completely vaccinated.
Great.
And that's that's a testament to the work the public health department is doing under the leadership of Dr. Dan Cools. We are the only county in New York State that has an epidemiologist as a commissioner of public health. So we're very fortunate for that. Just a little bit more on the numbers. This is Saratoga County. The positive test numbers over the past 7 days have been 290. That means our 7-day average rolling percent positivity is 4.6%. We currently have 11 individuals that are hospitalized. In the town of Moreau, there have been 15 reported cases as of yesterday, and in the village of South Williams Falls, that number is currently at 4. So, lots going on. Saratoga County continues to be at the forefront of making sure that anyone who wants to receive a vaccine has the ability to receive it. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, August 11th, our public health department will be holding free community COVID vaccination clinics at the Saratoga Regional YMCA Malta Branch, which is located at Penn Medical Park Drive, Boston Spa, from 10 to noon. Following day, August 12th, it will be at Stewart's, 504 Route 9B, Saratoga Springs. That will be the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, as was the one that's going to be offered tomorrow. Friday, August 13th, there will also be a vaccination clinic at the Saratoga County Public Safety Building, which is located at 6012 County Farm Road in Boston Spa, and that will be available from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Also on Friday, at the same location, again in the afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30, the Pfizer vaccine will be available for anybody who would like to receive the vaccination. So again, I can't stress enough how important for anyone who has concerns about the Delta variant to make sure that they get vaccinated if they have not already done so. So that's the COVID-19 update. Item 4 on the agenda is the Community Coalition for Family Wellness. I know Council Member John Hogan has been working with the Rec Department on that. Would you like to?
We have a young lady here who would like to do a presentation.
All right.
Wanted to do a Halloween event at the park. Basically, a trunk or treat type situation with maybe some other activities for kids. But I reached out to Pete and said, they have a plan to talk to us. So, if you'd like to do
it. Okay.
Sure.
Hi. My name is Amber Danaher. I work at the Prevention Council in Saratoga County, and I'm also back on the coalition, so we grant works for those steps. I just to give you guys a verification as to what the event is. Would you all like a copy of this?
Sure.
And then just our coalition is the bigger square, and the top part is my card. If you have any questions, you can email or call. I just kind of summarized what we are looking to do. The second page is our event last year. Just some photos and kind of a brief summary. So, I don't know if everybody's aware of what a trunk or treat is. I'm going to pass it on to
sure.
I'm vaccinated, but I'm conscious. So, trunk or treat is basically like a trick or treating event, but with trunk to trunk instead of
trunk.
Oh,
the only reason I asked is because we're Zooming the meeting.
Oh, that's okay.
And I know you cannot hear
it. Okay, can you hear me or not in this?
Yeah, we can. If it's on, it'll get picked up on.
Did you need a green light on your microphone? If you hit that button?
So a trunk or treat is basically you're going, the cars will pop their trunk, we'll decorate them as like a Halloween house, and then the kids go from trunk to trunk getting candy normally, but with us, we are a drug-free coalition. We do alcohol and substance abuse prevention for youth. So for us, we try to gather all the resources in the community, such as our members, to bring resources to the community as to what's available to them. So they'll get candy, kind of throw them in as a bonus, but also resources, letting them know what businesses are available, any nonprofits or agencies that might have services that would be available. We are specifically in South Coast Falls School District. So we really try to get the resources within the community so that everybody kind of knows what's available, how to go about it, and get information. So that's really our the reason why we do it. The reason we're looking at Monroe Rec is because the last year we held it at Pine Knolls, and then due to the pandemic, we did a drive-through trunk or treat. And the event was very busy because of the pandemic. We had about 1,000 people show up, and the traffic got backed up on the road. And we did have people directing, officers directing traffic, but it became a space that wasn't spread out enough. And I grew up playing sports in Monroe Rec, and I said, Monroe Rec is a great community place for something like this. So that was me reaching out, and then I had spoken with Pete, and he actually has experience in this type of thing, so that was a bonus for me. So we're just looking to do the event and gain permission of the community and the board to have this event there. We're looking to have about 100 trunks. It's an estimate. We haven't reached out to anybody yet without approval. And then we'll have one pass in, one pass out, so we'll gain traffic on the road. And all the details are here, the things we're looking to do. Last year, we just did a trunk or treat because we couldn't have anybody walking around. And this year, we're planning to have the kids walk around, but it may be drive-through in October. We're unsure of that, but we have flexibility with that to move it around. We're just planning to, if there was a need, someone was talking about having our first responders and vehicles in like a corral to introduce our first responders and not have them be, you know, sometimes they're portrayed as an enemy and they want the kids and the families in the community to know, like, hey, these are your first responders in your community. Maybe you can tour their truck or something like that. So little things like that. We would also like to have food trucks. That was a question. And then just to bring people in, there was one thing, the National Guard has a obstacle course, and I know it says no blow-up things in the park, so we were just wondering if that was something that we could do. It's just National Guard, it's not like a bouncy house facility and all that, that's too much room. Face painting, pumpkin decorating, crafting, things like that, just we're looking to do like a Halloween movie and a haunted hayride trail.
That,
I think I've included it all.
So that is, I received correspondence from Jennifer Rich.
Yes.
That is the same thing, right?
It is, similarly. But, yes.
Oh,
it's the same event. It's the same event.
Oh, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So the Community Coalition for Family Wellness is, the community center is a member, the park is a member, like everybody are members of our coalition. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to partner with the park and do it as like a paired event. So that everybody knows the park is where we do this event, and this is a community thing. It's kind of my direction I was going in.
So do you have a weekend picked out?
Yes. October 23rd is the day that we're looking to do, or the rain date of October 24th. That might have been useful information.
No problem. And, well, first of all, in general, the idea sounds like a fantastic idea. I do have, and this is more for town's attorney, we may have to look at the food trucks coming in. What does the town have any exposure on that?
Right, we would have to just see what their licensing is and their insurance, as well as see if the coalition had insurance to provide to the town.
So it's through the Prevention Council.
Okay.
Yeah, and the community center has insurance they've offered to use as well because we work with them. Eventually, our coalition will turn into a, it'll be sustained eventually by the community center and the school in partnership. So our grant funding does expire at some point. So. sustainability for community members and families keep on the messaging.
No, I think it's a great idea. I think obviously the rest of the board is willing to move forward, but one of the things we'll have to do, reach out to the town's insurance carrier and make sure all of this is covered there.
Which I did call the engineers today.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And kind of presented this whole situation to them. First thing he said, you know, this is like an entity coming in and renting the park, they would do a permit. And they would be required to have insurance, holding the town as an insured party. I have absolutely no blow-up instruments. I asked about the climbing wall, National Guard, obstacle course, and essentially what he said was it sounded okay as long as you had proper insurance coverage.
Yes.
And then he would be happy to look over the policy to make sure that it...
Yes, absolutely. I think in the park policy it says no inflatables. Yeah. That's why we were questioning. And it's, you know, it's not a big deal as long as we're setting up an inflatable park. But we did do a team driver event in the past, and they had the obstacle course. It's a blow-up obstacle course, so that's why. And then it's a rock wall that I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. So.
Okay. Well, so... What he said was no inflatables.
Okay.
So I'm assuming
that
it's a blow-up obstacle course that probably is going to go over.
Right, that's fine.
Okay. But everything else, you know, the other activities all look good.
Okay. Sounds good. And for the food truck approval, how do we go about doing something like that?
We just need a copy of their permits that they have.
Okay.
And what those permits are.
Exactly. They actually won't usually just be able to permit that actually for them to be able to serve food.
Okay, and they don't need anything further, like through the town or anything like that?
They usually have no insurance as well.
Okay, great. Cool, so they're okay to come.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any resolution on that for our own agreement. And the rec committee can work with a rec leader for location of where.
Sure.
I put most of that in the details here.
Oh,
yeah, we hired an investment team to kind of get a layout of the land to see what we were looking at. And the bottom paragraph kind of, I think it was the bottom paragraph. I apologize. Yeah, so where it says plans, it just says the approximate 100 trunks, and then we would set the trunks up in the lot next to Pavilion 2, that big parking lot there, and they would be... nose to nose, so the trunks would be accessible. And then you have parking behind that in the gravel lot in front of the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the terms there yet.
Over by the quads.
Yes, the quads, that's the term over there. Yeah, so we're looking at that, and we've already gained permission from Christine Orr, the superintendent, to use the Moreau's elementary's parking lot for backup for parking. So.
Now, you said traffic is going to be one way in and out.
Yes.
How's that going to be enforced? Because right now it's two way at both entrances.
Yeah, so we're going to have someone directing traffic and parking cars. Our hope is to get a ton of volunteers. So if you want anybody, none of my way. it's a big event. Even without having it that big, it was big last year. So our goal is to have them come in on Route 32 and exit on JNF and have, you know, a steady flow. And they can park within, or if we decide to, if it moves to a drive-through, then they'll be able to drive through in that. So in my brain, it's going to work perfect.
Only one thought I may have, just between still October, the system might be playable. I'm sure he has it on his calendar.
The softball tournament?
Yes. So we, you know, I think plans should need to be fluid for a while until we can leverage the traffic piece. And if we have a softball tournament coming in, it might be difficult to tell people they can't go down JNF.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
No, so that's our goal.
Yeah.
Our plan. If it ends up being both ends, that's fine. We're just trying to keep it safe for the kids if they're walking through to know that cars are going in this way and out that way, just kind of know for families. But I think I talked with Pete, and he said the tournament was ending around 3. Our event, we pushed it back to 4. So I don't know if I wrote times on here, but we were 4 to 4 to 9 p.m. Because we're trying to show also a movie, Casper the Ghost. And then do the haunted, and the haunted hayride is something that is okay with everybody as well.
I think everybody's on board with that.
Awesome.
And if you have any questions along the way, obviously the first person to interact with you directly here. When there's issues that will be on that level, the board will be happy to work with them.
Great. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Item 5 on this evening's agenda, I have listed as Lewis and Greer. We have had in the past a retainer agreement with Lewis and Greer, who are currently our special counsel on our hydro tax fiduciary cases. And we have used them in the past to assist us when there was a conflict of interest with the current attorneys for the town. And we do have an instance where that has happened again with one of our property owners. And so I'm recommending that the town board authorize the supervisor to sign the retainer agreement so that we may be represented in the case of Bluebird Village LLC versus the town of Monroe. And I think all the board members, yes, all the board members have been provided with a copy of the retainer agreement. Essentially, the agreement states that the town will retain Lewis and Greer PC attorneys and counsel at law for representation in connection with the following matter, which is special counsel of the town of Monroe for real property tax law matters and litigation. The attorney fees for the services rendered to be paid at a rate of $195 per hour plus the cost and disbursement. The client understands that disputes with respect to legal fees may be subject to arbitration with the client's consent pursuant to Part 37 of the Rules of the Chief Administrative Courts, 22 NYCRR, Section 137. And the client hereby acknowledges the receipt of Lewis and Greer statement concerning billing practices annexed here too, and accepts the terms and conditions set forth therein. This is a legally binding contract. I don't know if the town board has any questions on that.
So this
was in place going back to 2014, I think.
So that's all the words exactly the same.
Yeah, it was identical. The price went up $10 over 7 years. So,
okay.
$10 per hour. So my recommendation would be to authorize the supervisor to sign the retainer agreement. I think I'll move that.
So moved.
Second.
And any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Water district, or water department, items here. First is in relation to water consolidation. I believe all board members have been copied on email from the town clerk, and it's in relation to working with the town engineer and water district in relation to water consolidation, which, if we continue on track, would take place on January 1, 2022, and that's going to require a change in arrangements with our billing company and the program that we use. And I'll open it up to town clerk just to provide a little more detail on that, since this is something that you've been working with my office on and offered me on that.
Sure. Our current software vendor that we used, Edmunds BAS, they're no longer going to support the program that we have after the first of the year. They have a new program that they've rolled out, and if we decide to stay with their company, they will support our program as long as it takes in order to get the new program up and running. If we decide to go with a different vendor altogether, then our program would basically cease as of the first of the year. We would have no support for it. So we have some huge things coming up after conversations with Don Rhodes. We are going to have everything all up and ready by the first of the year. So we just need direction where the town wants to go. I mean, can we pretty much say to Edmonds BAS, we're going to stay with you. However, we're not going to be able to buy their new program this year because it wasn't budgeted for. But at least that way we'll know where we stand with everything going forward.
I think, I know Tammy's been working with your office on that. Didn't she get more information as far as costs?
Yes.
Recommendation on which direction to go?
Yes. Our recommendation is to stay with Edmonds BAS because their cost was minimal. It was $8,000 to transfer all the data and go with their new program. The other company that we looked into that the town of Queensbury uses, I think I had it in my informational packet, but I think it was about $66,000. So there's no doubt that we would just stay with who we have. We investigated their new program. They gave us a little bit of a demo and everything, and it's very similar to the other program from Queensbury. I didn't see any great difference, you know, that it should cost that much more.
Does that require any town board action or just one direction?
I wanted direction at this point to be able to tell Edmonds that, yes, we're going to stay with them. Then, obviously, after the first of the year, before that, we would budget for it. I'm going to, you know, prepare all that information for budget for all of you folks. And then after the first of the year, we would need town board approval to actually purchase that new program. But so for right now, I mean, I'm just looking for the board to say, yes, let's stay with Edmonds so that we can kind of get the ball rolling with those folks.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. All right. So, I guess shared with my office for a budget, or I don't know how that works because I know we've been moving that around.
Yeah.
We'll just have to make sure that as we go through the budget process, one of the offices has
it. Yep, absolutely. I'm going to work with Jeffrey on that so that he's aware, because it really should come out of water sewer and not town clerk or anything else.
Right.
So we'll make sure that he has everything that he needs.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And next item I have also on the Water Department is town board received correspondence from the Water Superintendent dated August 9, 2021. This says to Supervisor Kuznir and the town board, this is to inform you that I am going to retire. My last day at work will be September 29, 2021. Thank you. Signed, Jesse A. Fish, Water and Sewer Superintendent. Begin moving to restaff, fill that position.
Absolutely.
As we move ahead. And I do have, I think board members have been copied with some earned time off that he would like to take next month or so. Item 7, I have one request from the Highway Superintendency.
I don't know. But do we need a resolution to accept his resignation? We
no,
normally do.
Retirement.
A retirement?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're retiring whether we approve or not.
Okay.
Right here. California.
That's true.
Doesn't appear to be very documented. I can see.
Okay. So we just have one request, and it's to purchase diesel fuel. He's looking to open a PO in the amount of $20,000 from the vendor who is under state contract number PC68214, vendor Sprague Operating Resources at 185 International Drive, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And this would come from account DB5142, I think that's supposed to be a decimal, 460, not 0460. Currently, the balance as of August 3rd in that account is $39,386.65. And we had budgeted for the 2021 fiscal year $65,000.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
So not to interrupt, but the reason I can nothing on that line, because I never set me up as a co-host, so I don't know if you want me to take a second to do that. You know, okay. Sorry about that.
I'm not understanding these.
Okay, sorry. Notice that's a little different. So Paul is on if you want him. So let me just do this real quick. Malta Town Hall. It's going to be run just like the one that was run here in the town of Moreau. It's open to all Sarasota County residents, but you do have to fill out, we can put it on the website, you do have to fill out a registration form, and the cost, this is for egg tires, and you can have agricultural tires up to 3 feet at $100 each. And agricultural tires from 3 feet to 6 feet, that's diameter, for $150 each. The collection will take place on Wednesday, October 20th,
through Friday, October 22nd, and you must set an appointment to participate. So we'll have that information on our website. We'll also be able to rate vehicle tires no larger than 6 foot diameter and 24 inch width. The maximum is 4 tires per individual. So we'll have that information available if you want to take advantage of that.
Along the same lines, I just going to grab something. So, county ever going to maybe do something as far as like disposing of fluorescent bulbs, paint, solvents? I've had quite a few people ask me about that. Where do they take those things? And I'm like, I don't have an answer for them. I know you mentioned one time, maybe years ago, but I didn't know if they had any interest recently about doing something like that to try to have somewhere. Because those things know where they end up on the side of the road somewhere.
So there's no plan at this time this year to do it. And I think the reason behind that, and it was a bit of last year, is that there were some larger Saratoga County towns that were offering it. It's a very expensive program.
I'm sure.
And the thought process by those in charge at the time was that, well, there's an opportunity if people want to travel.
So maybe there's something you could look into it at the county level and you get something going. I get that question all the time. Might side of the road. Yeah,
that's
your
answer.
That's
the
transfer station.
Next item I have is the municipal shelter inspection report was completed on July 23rd. This is something that the Department of Agriculture and Markets does periodically for these facilities, and the shelter is located at 6010 County Farm Road in Boston Spa, and the county received a satisfactory report in all categories. Once again, so pretty good news. Some of the things that I'll just pick out a couple of things they look at. Is the shelter structurally sound? The dog handled safely? Is ventilation adequate? Drainage is adequate? Temperature extremes are avoided? Veterinary care is provided when necessary? And reading dogs are licensed for release. So it's actually a 19-point system check program that they evaluate. So everything is run appropriate there. I received correspondence from New York State DOT in relation to the upcoming start of construction at the I-87 interchange at exit 17. Very brief, it says, good morning. Detached letter regarding the upcoming start of construction on bridge replacement and interchange reconfiguration at I-87 at interchange 17 is being provided to you on behalf of the project engineer in charge, which I believe is Chauvin Watkins. For your convenience, we're also sending out hard copies of the letter via U.S. mail. And I can put that letter up on our website. Essentially, what's going to happen is the project's going to begin the week of August 16th. And this is a reminder that the core ends of this project are to replace the 103-foot-wide bridge carrying Route 9 over 87, also known as the Adirondack Northway, with a 55-foot wide bridge and realign the four ramps on the northwest and southeast quadrants of the interchange so as to create two key intersections. During the first phase of construction, they will be reconstructing ramps and Northway deceleration lanes. While this work takes place, there will be no changes to existing traffic patterns or lane availability on Route 9, just single right-lane closures on the northway. We expect the entire project will take the remainder of 2021 construction season plus all of 2022. And they will keep my office apprised of the progress and any particular changes in traffic control strategies in the area. So lots going on Route 9. We've got sewer going on right now. So good to see the infrastructure being money for infrastructure being allocated here in the town of Rome. Received a call earlier in the week from Mayor Bobkin in relation to Beach Road, which services the beach that the town of Rome operates in the village of Southlands Falls. After the rains that we, the heavy rains that we received a couple weeks ago, they had some engineering studies done on, it's a pretty steep road going down the beach, and basically the engineers came back with a strong recommendation that the road not be used for vehicle traffic until a repair is mapped out and put in place. And I actually walked down with their DPW superintendent, and we took a look at it, and it's extremely steep coming off the shoulder of that road. If you look underneath, it's almost vertical, and the erosion, and according to village staff, the weakness in the soil is a liability for the village. And so the recommendation, actually they told me, it was a recommendation, they told me that the village was going to close that road that day, to close the business. So the road is now closed to vehicle traffic going to our beach, but they have established parking areas at the top of the hill so pedestrian traffic can walk down to the beach. Along those lines, I know Ricky May was going to bring it up under committee reports. We have all of our lifeguards that work at the beach are college students, and they will be returning to school by August 22nd.
That's my understanding. So they're done on the 21st.
Yeah, so we, and anyone who's been following the news around New York State, it's essentially impossible to find certified lifeguard. We had difficulty this year. We were very fortunate that we had enough to open the beach. And I know that the probability of being able to replace the loss in staffing probably will not be able to occur in a timely fashion before the end of the beach season.
Right.
So I think the recommendation is that once the lifeguards are gone, that we close the beach for the year.
Correct. That's the recommendation.
So.
You're not sure.
No. Well, that's just it. No, I'm not sure. So I wanted to make everybody aware of that. Also, correspondence from New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets. I received a copy of a letter from Saratoga Plan. I was succeed on as supervisor where New York State has awarded the Barber Brothers Dairy Farm, which is in Saratoga County, $322,589 to purchase the development rights permanently and protect that farmland. In my role, I think I did it as chairman of the Board of Supervisors, I wrote a letter of support on behalf of Saratoga County for that selection, and they were fact selected. This is a program that I think they've handed out about $62 million over the past several years. I know back in 2018 the state allocated $135 million for the program, showing that it is a priority for New York State to preserve farmland across the state. And it's fantastic that a farming service with county was available, able to take advantage of the program. So that's good news. I have correspondence from your State Department of Taxation and Finance. This is in relation to the certificate of final telecommunication ceiling, which the tax department determines annually when they set the maximum taxable assessed value of private mass telecommunication property in municipalities. I'm not going to read you all the different details. Each of these that are highlighted, I can tell you that the total ceiling is $888,957,000. This is a certificate of final telecommunications. One last item, I just want to update everyone on sewer. Our sewer contractor, Newcastle Paving, is moving at a rapid pace. According to the engineering plans, their goal is to have the sewer in place on Route 9, the pump station there, and the force main operational by the end of this year so that we can bring on commercial customers for 2022. Now, the contract language says they have until, I think, June 2022 to get that part of the project done, but they're on an aggressive pace right now, and that's it. That's it for us. Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. That's
all I have. Supervisor items, committee reports. We do have a couple items there. I don't know if the transfer station wants to report, but I received a notice that the loader is leaking fluid badly. I'm not sure what that means. I didn't get a chance to look at it today.
I haven't heard. I was there today.
You know what you know?
It's the hydraulic pistons are shot.
So you need to reseal it. So
there's a lot more issues.
There are a lot more issues. I had them all written down, but you know, we've got to really seriously look. Soon, see what we're going to do down there.
Well,
we've got to put money into this thing, or we've got to look ahead and try to maybe, you know, do what we did before to come to the highway department and get that money to the transfer station, because the cab itself is rusting out, the rims are cracked, all the tires are bald. The step going up is a makeshift step that I'm just afraid someone's going to come down there. I think if we correct everything, we'd be putting an awful lot of money into a piece of equipment that's not really worth a lot of money into. I just think you guys start thinking about what we're going to do down there. Even now, the pistons, I mean, so it seems like every week they're down there, they're showing something different. But I think we really have to take a serious look at what eventually that will come.
You
good?
I have spoken with my team about
this attempt
and ask for and to look at the cost and get that information to us. I'm waiting to hear.
He said it was going to be
I already talked about lifeguards. Me? No, I don't have to know. Yes.
So, no, I'm just going to so it's recommended.
Okay. I'm sorry, I do have one.
Okay, so it's recommended. I mean, there's some different things that are happening down there. Obviously, some bad ones. We're still waiting to get here back on camera and what costs might be associated with trying to get some camera down there. But there's also been some different events down there that have been positive in the community. And like a nature walk and learning that Peter was instrumental in. And apparently, if I understand, there were about 36 different kids that took part in this and they really enjoyed it. There were a couple of nice letters that we received that complimented not only Peter, but you know, the fact that we had this event. Positive. Basketball program, some of it, more than 70 kids took part of that. It was also well received. The disc golf, I think, is operational at this point.
It is.
And that's also being well received.
Very popular.
So, those are good things to correct.
Are we getting any use out of the pickleball court? Because I know there was a big push for that at one point.
I'm going to say yes, but I don't have a head count. I've been through there a few times and seen activity yet.
Right, I would agree with Councilmember Hogan on this one. The only issue with the pickleball court, though, is the age of that blacktop. There's such huge cracks in it.
I look at it. They filled for a football court for last time we down there. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of discussion, and we did do fill right for cracks.
No, it's just not. I think, unfortunately, some folks now they have football courts in the area.
Football safety is very busy.
Now the expectation is that we're going to have nice flat courts with not to fill the cracks. So, something to think about in the future.
But,
sure.
Anything else on the okay. I want to just touch on the transfer station. The board had, because it was brought to us, had authorized roof replacement.
Yes.
Did that happen?
I talked to him this morning. He's coordinating over the building now. They figured out everything they need. They found some nails down there on the side. And the mountain top put on the body of the they say they're flashing around, so that's good. So they're going to bring the 10 to cut corners and they're in the planning stage now. I said to them, I said, the roof's the same as it was last week when I came down here. So I got out and take a little bit. Okay. I think we're going to see that move forward pretty quick.
Great.
To be here, to be clear, to cut costs, not cut corners, right?
Cut costs.
Okay.
I have one more thing that was on the web page and the entertainment type thing. I've been in contact this week with Joe Rowe from the village and Mayor Bodkin. Because that individual approached me and wanted to put on a concert down at the gazebo down there, like they've done for other years. And he said, who would I get a hold of? Let me just get a hold of Joe and get a hold of because I know he'd done some work on it in the past in Bodkin. So I didn't do this as the town council, because there's not a bunch of people that got here for a little bit. But he said, I talked to the mayor and I talked to Joe and we're going to set that up. And I also talked to Joe about next year. I'd like to see us maybe get involved and maybe budget some, at budget time, because it's very popular that series, the concert series that they have there for years. So I'm just going to kind of poke around a little bit, and Joe's going to talk to the Chamber of Commerce to see if we can get some money.
I'd really love to have something like that, right? Where
That's what I talked to the mayor about. So what I'd like to see is maybe schedule 8 of them, and have 4 of them down to the rec, and 4 of them down to the village. See where we can get funds, like from the Chamber of Commerce and stuff, and try to coordinate something. And so I'm going to keep poking around in there and see what I can find. And, but this one is going to happen. It is going to happen. It's going to happen on the 21st of this month, down there from 6 to 8 of the Marquette is going to play. Mm-hmm. In fact, David Downs wanted to have a hold of me and thought, who do I get a hold of? Well, let me just put some figures out. So we're going to have one. So we have one this year, and hopefully we can coordinate something and get that back on track tonight.
Great. Last item I have on the rec, we had budgeted this year for a maintenance pole barn. So we could get our equipment, especially when we started buying new equipment, undercover, locked up, so that kids aren't climbing on it, nobody's around. Do we know where we're better
than this? No. No, I don't. But I'm also concerned if we look quite longer and move too far on that. But I will ask about that.
Even if we get the roof for the show, that would be
sure. Good. Yeah, like a full line of the roof on.
Yeah. Just to get all the coming for this.
I will send out a message.
Okay. Great. Anything else for committee reports?
Just real quick, personnel committee. At this point, we've received staff, I'd say 20 or so, applications for our multiple clerk positions. So Alan and I will start peeling through those and start doing interviews to, maybe weed down a little bit to those who are the most interested, and then we'll bring some recommendations back to the board.
Yeah, I would encourage all board members to take a look at the applications and if there's somebody in there you feel is the requirement you need for the town, get it to the personnel committee and get them for an interview. I mean, I'm happy to call a special meeting once we hone that down if we have to, because I know this is important. Right. These are important positions. We go through that and get somebody on board. That'd be great. So thanks for that. I do need an executive session to receive an update on the tax surgery case of Larry Boulevard, to discuss a contract regarding town zoning administrator, to also discuss the work history of unnamed town employee or employees, and also to receive an update on contract negotiations regarding the sale of 61 Hudson. And what I'd like to do is invite the town clerk in for the first portion of the executive session for the discussion on unnamed employee or employee.
Okay. So,
can I have a motion in a second?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
So
back? Okay.
So, we're out of executive session, and I would like the record to reflect that no action was taken in executive session. And moving on to other business, we do have a couple items. The first one is in relation to the zoning administrator for the town, Jim Martin, who has a contract with the town that was signed July 23rd of 2020. And in that contract, there is language that authorizes the contract to be renewed for one additional year, as long as the town exercises the option within 60 days from the end of the original term. So the term just ended July 31st, so we're well within that window. So the town board is so inclined to entertain a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign the one-year extension in the agreement with the zoning administrator.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
As opposed, motion carries unanimously.
Nope, I left it on my desk.
Hang on, I got it here.
Did you want me to write that down?
What's that?
Did you need me to write something down for you?
I just need the individual's name.
Okay.
I got it.
You have it?
I have the name. That's the name. So, yeah, so I'd like to announce that the town clerk for Town Row has appointed, I believe, Barbara Bartlett, effective what day would you like to have?
Can we say effective immediately with...
effective...
I'm not sure.
Effective subject to
yep.
successful completion of the we have to do a physical one.
Yep.
Actually, a professional.
Okay.
I'll be clear on that. Subject to successful completion of the town's required physical within the next 3 weeks. And her appointment date to be that at which the town clerk provides the town board.
Okay.
Work.
Yep.
So.
And as part of that resolution, she will agree to the zoning and planning board minutes for she'll perform the duties of the zoning planning board secretary for a minimum of a year, and she will be compensated as a full-time employee at an annual rate of $40,000. Work?
Yes, and the rate for the planning and zoning?
And the rate for planning and zoning board will be that which is provided for currently by the organizational meeting resolution.
Okay.
Second.
Those are microphones down. Motion and second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All of you.
So that should give you leeway to do what you have to do to get her on board.
Yes.
Okay, at this time, agenda item 14, we're still on other business. Is there any other business? If not, we move to agenda item 15, which is privilege of the floor, and remind the public that by resolution, members of the public have an opportunity to address the board with comment for a maximum of 3 minutes, and I will ask that the discussion be germane to town business with no characterizations regarding town personnel. So would anybody like to address the board? Yes. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Erin Promptley. I live at 126 Langley Acres. And I'm sure everybody is aware of what took place on Route 9 yesterday with the accident that took out the power lines and all of that stuff, including Route 9. And I realize Route 9 is a state road, and I realize that National Grid is responsible for all the work and all of that stuff. But I wonder if there was something that the town could do to advocate for the people who live in the affected area when something like that happens, which unfortunately is pretty frequently. Those cell phone poles get hit regularly and you lose power and the road is closed to more or less extent. The road is completely closed at 197 and Butler. Nobody could go in, or you could get out, but you couldn't get in. So we had elderly people with no refrigeration, with no air conditioning, it was hot out, people couldn't get to them to check on them. Many people have phones that require electricity, so they couldn't call out. It was very unclear what people were supposed to do. I left in the morning to help my relative outside the park. I couldn't get back. I tried a couple of times to get back. I ended up going to my office in Lake George because I was like, well, I can't work from my house. I can't even get to my house. So I went to Lake George, and then I got a notification. The power was back on. And I was like, oh, well, the road must be clear. I waited 3 more hours, and then I tried to go home, and I couldn't get home. I was like, okay, well, I'm not a rule breaker. I am not a lawbreaker, but I am about to drive around this barricade because I need to get to my house at this point. I can't be like an exile forever. So that's the scenario, and like I said, I know it's not your responsibility, but I hope that there's something that we could do. Maybe we could have had the town crew come out and help with steering traffic or make signs available so that people would know that local traffic could go through. Make a car opening so that a car could go through instead of driving on the side of the other side of the road. It was chaotic. It was like 5 hours long. So that's all I'm saying.
Anybody else has to address the board?
Hi, my name is Angela Wadsworth. As you all well aware of me, I'm not here to repeat myself. I'm here to be a reminder of the damages that was caused to my property by town officials, Todd. Number one, I'd like to ask, Carla can't be an attorney on a certain area. She got pulled because of a conflict of interest. Is that what you stated earlier tonight? That Carla got pulled from handling a matter of the town because it was a conflict of interest. Correct.
Angela, this is your time for
comment. Okay. How come she wasn't pulled when there was a conflict of interest with me? and the law firm. Alan Rose was representing me. I was denied due process by having a town attorney there during my time on the Zoning Board of Appeals. I was denied having a town attorney there. Also, I'm kind of upset with the way you've been acting towards me, Mr. Kirshner. When I call you up to say, hey, the Cobb Job house you left me built next to me with the wrong surveyor, you took a surveyor's opinion, not a taxpayer's rights of what they knew. They didn't do a proper survey, Todd. You know it, and I know it. So why wasn't the documents in this town building, the dimensions on that property, up to where it's legit, it's truthful? Because a realtor uses that survey. Plus, what's really upsetting is I want to be brought on the agenda so I can warn the taxpayers on how some town officials like to alter tax maps. Again, those tax maps are used through planning board, zoning board, courtroom, police department, other attorneys, attorney general. So my question to you is, how come you're not up there with that independent code enforcement like you promised me going over that property? You promised me many times, and I have not seen a code enforcement up there. This is illegal. You don't put power lines, can they see it?
It's invisible.
Power lines, live power lines, 100 width down a property without no protection. I had grandchildren. In other words, water runoff. You just gave a farmer a good, healthy settlement because of salt runoff.